This computer. Hey, Jason. I went to the
Yes,
zoo.
sir.
I went to the zoo yesterday and I saw a piece of toast in a cage. When I asked the zookeeper why, he said it was bred in captivity.
Love it. That's a good
So,
one.
hey, you know it's illegal to laugh out loud in Hawaii?
Why is that?
You have to keep it al to aloha.
Even though I'm not in Hawaii, I'll just laugh in aloha.
Okay, so this one, if you have kids in the car, it's not bad, but you may want to mute it for like just a
Earmuff,
second.
kids, earmuffs.
Earmuffs for a second. So here we go. Did you know the best safe word is meatloaf?
Because you'll do anything for love, but you won't do that. No, I won't do anything for love.
This is the way.
We're wanted men.
Welcome to episode. We're going with 187 of the Smugglers Galaxy podcast, your favorite Star Wars podcast for smugglers in the galaxy. We've already been introduced. I'm Glenn. There's Jason. We're a little spicy today because we're recording on Monday night because we had Toylanta this weekend and we had no time to record during Toylanta because we were running around trying to find good deals on toys.
Yeah,
We
it's
kind of found
186.
some. We'll get to that in a minute. I think the last Sunday came worked out better for us. We'll get to that in a minute when we talk about our finds. Are we going to talk about our finds now, or you want to hold off until we get to Toylanta news? Or do you, what
We
do you
can
want to?
hold on. I picked up stuff outside of Toylanta, which I could talk about, but I also want to talk about that it's 186, not 187 yet. Sorry.
Oh, it is 186.
Yeah,
All
I
right. Well,
just checked.
Jason obviously had time to look it up. I was
I
just
just
going with
checked
the
while you were
flow.
talking.
Oh, he checked while I was talking or when I was having computer issues. Because,
Yeah.
thankfully we haven't had demons in a minute, so they do rear their ugly head every now and again.
Yeah, our computers don't know what to do on a Monday night. They're like, what
Right?
the heck?
Dude, Zoom on a Monday? Why are you doing that to me?
Makes no sense.
Right. So, how was your week other than Toylana?
My week, other than Toylanta, was busy again. We're down to the wire with Rogue Fund, so a lot of planning there. But I
Oh,
did
Rogue Fund have
manage,
something come up? What?
something coming up in what, close to 5 weeks now.
Dude, you keep
We've got,
every Friday, you're just like, here it is. Here it is.
be ready, people, because I need you. It's not just about me. But I did go out to a Walmart Saturday morning. I had to drop my family off at my mom's place. They were going out of town for the day. And I did find a B-Wing at a local Walmart, but they didn't have any chases or rares for the Micro Galaxy Squadron. And then I've been missing all of the pre-orders on Amazon for Series 5, but I did manage to get a TIE Fighter, so that arrived this week.
The TIE Interceptor?
TIE, no, the Series 5 First Order TIE.
Oh, sorry. Yes, that I love that TIE fighter. That's a cool looking TIE fighter. I
And then
think I did.
Hasbro.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
No, I think I did pick one up sometime since we last recorded. I keep saying I need to write this stuff down, and it just I never think about it.
Wrote stuff down.
Yeah, well, you're more organized than me.
And I also got the new Vintage Collection Finn.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Let's see if he's going to come back. My internet connection sucks. There we go.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I heard Finn, Vintage Collection Finn.
Yeah, I got that. I got the Vintage Collection Finn from Hasbro Pulse, and I got notification that a Clone Trooper and Count Dooku are on their way. So maybe next week.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to find like my AT&T or my smart home so I can prioritize my computer. So yes, I picked up, I think I picked up, like I said, the First Order TIE Fighter, and then the, I think that's all I picked up outside of Toy Lana, which is kind of interesting, but it is what it is.
I do have a question before we get into the news.
Yes.
And I've started to get back into eBay to pick up some items I needed for this exhibit that I'm putting on.
Right.
And one person has this item for $170 free shipping. Okay. Another person.
$170 free shipping.
Yeah. Another person has it for $130 plus $40 shipping. And then a third person has the same item, $100 plus $70 shipping. No matter which way I go, I'm paying $170. But how can someone get away with, and they're, you know, they're in the States. This is all states. I'm not looking outside of the United States because I want to pay additional shipping to import an item at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But how could someone get away with charging $70 for shipping? You know, when they do arrive, it's not going to say $70 on that label. It might say 20, it might say 35, but it's not going to say 70.
I truly don't know. I wish there was some kind of way on this that we could, you know, on eBay that you could actually say, hey, this is a ripoff on shipping.
Yeah.
Because it's probably, yeah, like you said, it always happens. Where, and I've gotten busted with this too, because you buy an item and it's like 95 cents or a dollar or whatever, and you don't check shipping, and then it's $30 shipping, which they make it up. And that's just a way for them not to get charged the fees that eBay charges, for them to get around fees. But so they're all basically the same price by the time you
basically, but they're all doing the same thing. Well, minus the guy that's doing the free shipping. The other two guys are trying to get around the fees, and it's like, why is eBay allowing that to happen? Because they're cheating this. They're cheating their system. eBay should be able to say, this is where the seller is to ship to. The furthest point in the United States is less than $70.
Yeah.
I'm just frustrated, and I'm curious, like, are they just trying to cheat the system, or am I just that ignorant where an item could cost $70 to ship?
They're cheating the system is what they're trying to do. And it's just, it's a way, I think it's double. It's the way to cheat the system and the way to catch somebody that's not paying attention.
Yeah. Well, I'm paying attention. I see you, eBay.
Yeah.
Well,
speaking of eBay, I did get my Bill and Ted First Shot Toy Biz phone booth in, and that was, it took a few days extra because of all the BS that's going on with the mail.
Excellent.
Yeah, dude, it's a pretty amazing piece. I was a little nervous about when I got it, when I ordered, when it was going to come in, because sometimes you can't tell the difference between a First Shot and a painted sample. So it's hard to tell sometimes, but this one you can look at and you could tell it's been hand painted, and it's a little bit bigger than the original, or what the final production piece is. And the door doesn't close. The door is like a one. So it's like one big, either 3D. I don't think it's 3D printed. If they 3D printed it, they used a really good printer, because I don't see any marks. Like you could see the lines of a 3D print.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any of that. So it's either molded or a really, really awesome 3D printer. And, but I mean, it's beautiful.
You said it's resin.
It could be resin. Yeah. I'll have to have you look at it next time you're over.
Yeah, if it's resin, you don't see those lines anymore with resin printers. They're just so well done.
Okay.
It's the kind that I have that puts layer by layer through a thin piece of plastic that you'll see the layers.
Okay. I mean, but it's so well done, and it's so pretty. I was showing Robert on Friday night at Toyland. I was like, dude, because he's kind of into the Bill and Ted stuff too, but not as big as I am, at least with the toy biz stuff. And I'm like, dude, check out this this piece I got. And he starts looking at it, and I could see the gears in his head rolling. And about the time he was like, this is not normal, I was like, dude, it's the first shot. He was just like, oh. So, I mean, it's done that well. You know, the guy's got more stuff on eBay if you guys want to look and want to buy me something. It's $350 for a resin. Ted. But
we're starting a Patreon. You could message us and send us a dollar a day. We also have the super fan where you could send us a dollar an hour. Every hour it's just going to charge a dollar for your account. We'll be putting this all towards charity, which is the collection of Glenn.
Right. Does that bug you that, I mean, I understand why people do the Patreon stuff, but you know, a lot of podcasts do that. And it's like, man, you feel kind of ripped off because you missed some of their stuff. But you know, some of them are like, oh man, like it's $1 a month or $5 a month. And you're like, it's really not that much until you start doing a bunch of podcasts. So I don't know.
I made a choice. Yeah. I made a choice. Like, if it's not ads, so I'm monetized on YouTube. I should probably be doing more on YouTube, but it's just not a passion. I made a choice that the only thing I'm going to charge people for is my writing. Everything else is just a gift to the world because I'm that special that I can bestow gifts to everyone.
Right. To the tens of people that listen to us. But no, I mean, we do put the ad in the front of it and it helps pay for the Zoom. So, I mean, at least.
And that's all we need.
Right. I mean, at least the podcast is semi self-supported. So, you know,
I don't want to,
you know, all we got to do is pay for the computer stuff. So, I mean, and that's, we use that in our personal life. So why should the podcast, I guess, pay for that? We could pay for it, but.
And there's an element where like, I don't want to do this for a living. I just want to do it for fun and for like a niche side hobby in the hobby.
Right.
When it starts to become a paid thing and I have to do it because of paid obligation, there's just not the creative passion there anymore, and it just takes out something from me, and I'm not about charging people to listen to us yap when we're hardly experts on most things.
Right.
We've got a good thing going. As long as you can pay for Zoom a month with the ads, then I think we're good.
Right. So anyway, what kind of there, dude? The news is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I think, well, because we had talked yesterday on the ride home. We're like, why don't we record an episode so we don't, you know, we can two birds, one stone. And you're like, dude, there's so much news. We have to record this properly. So
I think the biggest thing that I wanted to start with, because it does set the tone for like the Hasbro stuff, is that the Acolyte trailer dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, we see what the life was like before 100 years before Anakin Skywalker. And yeah, so what were your thoughts on the trailer?
I only watched it once because I probably should have watched it again before we did this, but I was pretty excited. I don't think it had the X-Files feel to it like people were saying it was going to, but it definitely had the spy thriller feel. I am truthfully, I know a lot of people were, because somebody had said that there was twice as many dislikes as there were likes on the trailer on
even
YouTube.
More.
Yeah. And I don't understand it. It's like, this is the Star Wars a lot of us, I feel, have been wanting, because I quite truthfully and quite honestly, I'm tired of the Skywalker saga. I am ready for something new. And we got it a little bit with Mandalorian, and then they brought in Luke Skywalker. You know, even though I kind of want to, you still, you know, I like the way the Mandalorian did it because it was a side, you know, he was a side quest basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to like the whole new thing. I was kind of surprised they didn't show Yoda, but that's, I think they're maybe holding off on that. I thought the characters looked really cool. I love seeing a bunch of Jedis, dude. You know, when you got all those lightsabers light up, you're just like, oh, it's on. And then when they see the red lightsaber for the first time, they're like taken aback with it. You know, they're like, what's going on with that dude's lightsaber? It's red. So it's cool that we're going to get to see the Sith, and they still kind of have this the secrecy of that one character, if I remember correctly, right? There's still one character we hadn't seen.
Yeah, well, allegedly, because of the Hasbro packaging, it seems like the 01 character and the Black Series. So, you know, they label each Black Series figure like Acolyte 1, Acolyte 2, Acolyte 3. And it seems like the ones they released are like 2 through 5 or 6. So number one is missing.
Oh.
Allegedly, if they haven't changed things.
Okay. I did find that if we want to, do we want to move on to toys, or did you, what are your thoughts on the trailer?
Yeah, I think I had trouble resonating with it. Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't resonate with me. I was trying to figure out why, and I'm glad we had a couple extra days to record, because I've had zero interest in the High Republic. It's just, the thing I liked about Shadows of the Empire is that it was a book, a comic book, and a movie, or a video game. This, it's like comic books, there's young readers, there's juvenile readers, there's books for adults. It's just, it's very, very deep. And I just didn't want to get into something that deep. And so I was hesitant about getting into this, because it's like, how much homework do I have to do to get into it? Mm-hmm. The big problem I had with the trailer is that it doesn't follow a character.
Okay.
I wish it took time to say, this is Jedi Master Soul. Even if it's like pulling the rug out from underneath us, mm-hmm. and he dies in the first episode, because they do say that someone's hunting Jedi.
Right.
So it would be good to say, like, here's the character. Here's Jedi Master Soul. I love his name because it means sun. It means light. It means, like, everything the Jedi are supposed to be. He even has, like, an orange tunic. Mm-hmm. Like, he is made of light. Like, he is prosperous. And, like, this is what Jedi are supposed to be. But, yeah, there's just no character. And there's the one character who sees the fire. There's the little youngling who's, close your eyes, what do you see? Peace, balance, fire. It's like, is that the Acolyte? Is that the bad guy? Like, what's the point of that? And what about that one character who can't close his eyes that everyone's made a meme out of?
Have you seen the one where he's got a bucket of KFC on him, on his head?
No, I haven't seen that one, poor guy. The only things that I really need to, in my headcanon, so to speak, if Darth Plagueis is in it, he needs to be a Mun, which is part of the banking clan. Mm-hmm. It says that Wikipedia said that the Mun, because I did a little research, they live to be over 100 years old. So that could very well be Darth Plagueis that we see at the end. Hmm. But it's obviously not Palpatine. Palpatine is probably not even born by the time this rolls around.
Right.
And then the other thing that I have to have, otherwise it's going to irk me, because I don't like some of the prequel stuff doesn't line up to the Jedi, the original trilogy stuff. You kind of have to, like, okay, I guess I'll just have to ignore that logical step. But they do say that, I think it was Mace Windu said that all the Sith were destroyed. Mm-hmm. So at the end of this series, I would expect that the Jedi think that they destroyed Darth Plagueis, but he slinks off and maybe he goes, I'm going to go hide on Naboo for a couple years and, you know, something like that. And he looks at the
Count
camera.
Then is it Count Dooku or the Emperor?
Darth Sidious.
Darth Sidious. And here's Anakin, here's his story, and he turns to the dark side.
Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Now, if you want to, you know, getting back to the High Republic, I read the first three books, and then I don't want to say I lost interest. I really enjoyed them because there again, it is new Star Wars content, and it's a new things going on and new characters. It felt like they came out with those three books and then I never saw anything about any other books. Cause I remember at Celebration in 22, I was like, when's the next books coming out, or how does all these books, like you said, cause there's the adult readers, there's the young readers, there's the little kids, there's comics. And it all kind of works together, but you can read them separately. And they were like, oh, the fourth book hasn't come out yet. And then I looked on Amazon and there are three or four books into it. You know, I've missed two or three books. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of aggravating as far as that goes, because I don't want to go buy three books right now because I'm still trying to work my way through a couple of books right now. And I don't know. I enjoyed it. The High Republic is enjoyable. It is a lot going on. But you do get to see Jedi in their heyday, which we've never seen, which is nice. So if you're interested in it, read The High Republic, man. I thought it was good.
Okay, maybe after Rogue Fun.
No, because then you'll be planning something else.
No, take that back. No.
You need at least 3 years off.
At least. So the next day, Hasbro had a live stream, and I felt like this was a decent live stream. They didn't pipeline the Hammerhead Cantina Black Series figure. They haven't seen it. They pipelined that in the past. We haven't seen anything, any renderings, anything like that. So I was a little disappointed, but that was one of two times that I was disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
For the vintage collection, there's a new Leia. The Leia has a plastic robe, which I like. I don't think the soft cape and the soft fabric goes well with 3.75 figures.
Yeah.
It's too thin. You could see the stitching. So I kind of like that this is a molded plastic. It does make it difficult for the figure to stand at times, and it's tough to pose them because it's like you can't crouch her down a little bit to, like, you know, raise her blaster and fire like she's going for protection, because that plastic robe will get in the way. But they also have a repack of R2-D2. This is a previously released figure. A lot of people were complaining when the figure came out because on the package, on the card back, he's spick and span. This is at the end of Return Star Wars when he's been cleaned up. But the figure itself was dirty. So now they're just re-releasing it with a clean R2.
Uh-huh.
For the Acolyte, they did show off May, who's an assassin, who's some sort of scoundrel character, an evil character, maybe.
She did give me Shin Hati vibes.
Yeah. So I don't think she's the Acolyte.
No.
I think they've either hiding who the Darth is, or they're hiding who the Acolyte is.
No, no. Jedi. Just real quick, I'm sorry, I'm thinking. So Acolyte, that's sort of what they're calling the bad guy, right?
I assume, because like an Acolyte is somebody who worships something. Like, you're an Acolyte, you worship a figurehead, you worship the Sith, you worship... he or she might not be the Sith. Like, all the people at the end of Rise of Skywalker in the audience while Rey was fighting Sidious, those people were called Sith Acolytes.
Okay.
They're like basically fans and who worship the Sith, but they're not Sith themselves. So
okay,
this might be somebody who's fallen from the Jedi Order, who's not in the dark side yet, but wants to be, aspires to be, something like that.
Now that makes sense, because I know in the new He-Man, they kept calling Skeletor an Acolyte. So
I need to finish that one.
That was, I think there's only five episodes, and it you know, it goes really fast.
Then they showed off the Salacious Crumb VC-66A and the 88. And the only thing I'll say, this is the second thing that I'm frustrated about, because someone else pointed this out to me, and I won't name who. When they use that A designation, they've done that before, and it was to denote that it was an armory pack.
Uh-huh.
There was a Sith trooper which was, I don't know, like VC-01, and then they released the trooper again with the armory pack, and it was VC-101A. So they added an A at the end, so it meant armory, and it's just a mess. The whole numbering system's a mess. I'm not happy that they added that A, but we're not going to go down that road, Nick.
I did, because I didn't watch it live, and I rewatched it, and I kind of skipped over a lot of things. And when they were talking, because it was Emily, right? The redhead?
Yes.
Name's Emily. So she was the one that was kind of running that section, and they were talking about it, and she kept going, yes, people have asked for it. And I kept going, please say some nerd at Celebration in 22 said that you needed to re-release this, and I didn't know what it meant, and I had to do study up on it, and I just kept thinking of you going, re-release VC-66. And she went, huh?
Huh?
What?
No, it might have already been in the works. For the Black Series, they're still doing the hologram thing.
Dude, you claimed it. Claim it again, man. Claim it. Say that you caused it.
I did it. I caused it. It's my fault. But what I didn't say was don't throw an A or B or C or anything at the end of the number.
My monkey lizard.
Yeah. For the Black Series, they are continuing with the hologram program. They have a Darth Maul. And then I think later they revealed the Darth Vader. But I also saw that the Bo-Katan was on clearance at Target.
Mm-hmm.
The full case is just sitting. They took the full case out of the box. They put it on the shelves. Nope, nobody wants that for $27. So they took the whole case, and now they put it on the clearance shelf, and it's just sitting there. Nobody wants it for that. So
right, nobody wants it for $13.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go.
Because that was the one part that was where I was annoyed, where I saw that they were doing more holograph stuff when the holograph stuff is on clearance right now.
Right. And if Patrick is the one who is pushing that, because he was in charge of the line for the longest time, if he was in charge of that program, it's going to be, 18 to 24 months before we see the new team kind of usher in their program. Because it's just the length that it takes to develop and manufacture, package, and ship and distribute. There's a lengthy process there. So it's going to take time. Some of this stuff needs to filter out and just disappear before we start to see, hopefully, last three packs in, I'll put in quotes, creative use of those molds.
Now, you know a little bit more about the ins and outs of toys than I do. I mean, couldn't they have just paused that or said no more? I mean, they're not doing good, and they could have. I'm assuming if they were already in production, there's nothing they can do.
Right. They would have to be at a loss.
Okay.
And at this point, because of the way they announced it, like, I think Darth Vader is already available for pre-order.
Uh-huh.
That's already left the warehouse, and it's in some other warehouse. It's already left the manufacturer warehouse, and it's already in a distributor warehouse ready to be sold. They also revealed 5 new Acolyte figures, Jedi Master Soul, Padawan Jeki Lawn, Jedi Knight Yord Fandar, Jedi Master Indara, and then again, Mei the Assassin.
Now, is this kind of the first time that we're getting figures from something that hasn't really come out in Star Wars?
Yes, which, we have to give them credit because... Yes.
It's been a long time. I get they do it during Phantom Menace, and they kind of did, but they were kind of secret. We weren't really getting Phantom Menace stuff before the movie came out, but I was pretty excited about this. I am not going to go out and buy the toys, but it was like, maybe this is a step in the right direction for Lucasfilm and Hasbro to finally start doing that, and maybe they'll make a little bit more money because people are actually going to watch the TV show and be like, I want that figure. And instead of waiting a year, they're going to buy it, and it'll be more of an impulse buy, because it happened with me and Cobb Vanth. It was like, I wanted that figure. I ordered it. It took a year to get here, and I canceled it.
Yeah, they say it's going fall of this year. These figures will be available on store shelves, so you should be able to pre-order. Well, pre-order's already passed. It's open for pre-order. You should be able to pre-order it, and then it'll come in the fall right after the show ends. But yeah, maybe they've listened to fans and they pushed back on Lucasfilm and said, hey, we really want to be able to show off things beforehand because that's what we do at Marvel.
Right.
Or Lucasfilm said, enough of this secrecy. There's no secret to let them know that the Jedi Master's name is Sol.
Right. Or maybe somebody went with a spreadsheet and went, look how many billions we lost from you keeping Baby Yoda a secret.
And yeah.
But maybe we can release some stuff and still keep some secrets.
As far as the vintage collection pipeline, they showed a jetpack trooper from Battlefront 2, Grand Admiral Thrawn, a 4-pack of X-Wing pilots, and I'm pretty sure that they use snowspeeder pilots in the photo. A Blurg and the Mandalorian. So it'll be a new sculpt of the Mandalorian. And so he'll have like better hip rotation so he can sit on the Blurg.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moff Gideon's light cruiser hallway playset. That's the scene from the second season towards the end when Mando and Moff Gideon fight.
Right.
I'm not sure if an exclusive figure is going to come with that. They usually do that now just to make sure people buy it.
You know, that's really cool. It's only taken him, what, 5 years, 4 years to get a blurg out?
Yeah.
Because
And
that was something people wanted.
I'm told, listen to another podcast, Chris B, was Galactic Figures talk. He was saying that he's talking to the designer, and the blurg does fit into the Razor Crest.
Oh, damn. I may have to buy that just for
Yeah, I
Green
might have
Beagle.
to buy two, one to put in the Razor Crest and one to keep in the package. Old school.
Well, I mean, it's cool that they thought ahead like that.
Yeah.
You know, because I Narayan's got a Razor Crest with custom made blurgs and it looks really cool in there. They fit in there really nice.
Yeah. And then as far as the Black Series pipeline, there's Deedra Mero, who's the Imperial ISB officer from Andor. Imperial Armored Commando, Ahsoka Tano, Peridia, which is Ahsoka the White, Captain Enoch, and the Night Trooper 2-pack, which will be a Walmart exclusive. And then a Yoda and Clone Commander Gree, which will be a Disney and a Hasbro Pulse exclusive. It's based on the comic books. I was trying to figure out why they've made this version of Gree, but I'm pretty sure it's because Gree in Revenge of the Sith has that camo co coloring. Whereas different shades of greens kind of blend in. And the version that they show in this comic book doesn't have that. And I wonder if it's a Deco thing to keep costs down. They're like, well, people want a Gree, but we can't afford a Gree, so let's give them this version of Gree.
Which is yellow, right? Or did you just say that and I missed it? Or
I don't remember if he was yellow or not.
okay.
And then finally, at the end of it, they did tip their hat a little bit and said that the week of May 4th, a vintage collection HasLab will be revealed. I didn't see any rumors as to what that could be at the time. However, you had pointed out that Steve Evans on Instagram during Toylanta posted one of his kind of photoshopped images, like, what could it be? We can't wait to express what the new HasLab is. Yak Face said,
Cheers.
yeah, I let you say it because it's your thing. Which could
Well,
be one of two things. It could be that, you know, Steve Evans is from the UK and that's just a greeting. So it could be Yak Face going, cheers, good luck, congratulations, you know, way to go. Or he could be hinting at that this is the cantina from Star Wars. Which, if that's true, I'm excited because I had just finished. Like, you have the Galactic Heroes size cantina. Narayan has the 3.75 cantina. And the reason why I made a Black Series cantina is because I didn't want to copy you two. So I'm glad I didn't make a 3.75 if this is true. Because if it is, then, you know, I'll be able to buy the HasLab.
Right. No, I and it does seem to be picking up steam because it's like every time somebody posts something that's what's getting called out. Before this was announced, I think the leaders were the Cantina or a Death Star playset.
Yeah.
We're kind of the two leaders. We had some people that were like, "Oh, I want the Marauder from Bad Batch." I'm like, "It's a cool
That's
ship, but no, you would run into another Rancor, I think, if they had done that." But I think either one of those, if they, you know, go, you know, I hope that either one would do well. I hope that
yeah.
if they do the Cantina, that it'll sell.
You said doo
And
doo.
huh?
You said doo doo.
What did I
You
say?
said doo-doo.
Did I say doo doo? Oh, okay.
Yes.
I was making sure I didn't say something else. Because but if they do the cantina,
See, he said it again.
yeah, if they do the cantina, I think it'll sell well. I think it's finally that's an iconic part of Star Wars,
Yeah.
and you know they've got people like you who are 3D printing their own versions of it, and hopefully they can make it enticing for people.
I am so glad that I picked this up at Retro Toy Con. This is Herchek
uh-huh.
from the Legacy Collection. He's not an easy one to come by.
Right.
And if it is the Cantina, and if he's not packaged in, some of these characters are going to go for a pretty penny.
Right.
The supply and demand is going to rocket, which means I should probably shut my mouth and start ordering other figures just in case it is a Cantina. I'm trying to think, like, the other one that will probably not get made because he got cut out was this little worm guy.
Mm-hmm.
In one scene, he's been replaced from the special editions. He's like looking sideways, but because he was replaced in the special editions, he's not going to be made again. So, but yeah, if it is the Cantina, I even saw Padawan Bear, the guy that makes patches, was like hashtag Mos Eisley, hashtag Cantina. I'm like, does he know something that we don't? Like, how are people getting this information?
Right. And somebody had posted in one of our chats, it was like where twins hang out. And you're like, the Tonica sisters. You know, you're like, where? And I never even saw somebody post that. It's like, is, you well, know, huh?
If it is the Tonica sisters, where's my, where did it go? It's supposed to be right here. My, damn it, I have to find that. Where did I put that?
What were you reaching for? Did you have there's no
the bingo board?
Oh, the bingo board. Your wife.
We had Tonica sisters. We had like, are they going to give us, if it is Cantina, are they going to give us a Luke Skywalker?
Do you think that they would card the Luke Skywalker and put it with the Cantina and then give us like some baggy Tonica sisters or something like that?
Maybe.
To kind of keep the cost down?
I can't pretend to know, but I do think Tonica sisters should probably be at the top of the list because it's been on that Vintage Collection March Madness. They've been doing that for years, and they're usually on top. If it's true what the rumors have been saying, that the likeness rights were signed over, then you know, let's get the Tonica sisters and let's get some of those unique characters, unique aliens. The thing that I'm really excited about that is, I mean, even as late as last fall, we were still getting Return of the Jedi skiff guards.
Right.
You know, Hasbro was supporting the sail barge. So I'm hoping that if they do make the Cantina, we can get all the weird aliens and the creatures and things we never got before. And because it's the Vintage Collection, maybe we'll get another Joss Purr, the bounty hunter, who kind of is in this power of the force, weird, unarticulated pose. I mean, he cannot sit down in a bar, so
mm-hmm.
that figure.
Yeah, no, but I'm...
We'll see.
Yeah, I think, you know, people like you and people that have been itching for these characters to come back, it'd be a real easy way for them to throw half a dozen characters in with the playset, and like,
yeah,
they can either go all in with the playset or all in with the characters, and I think a lot of people will be happy if that's the way they go. But we got what two months before we know something, so we'll see what happens. I know they said it's going to be week of May the 4th, so let's you know, we'll know something sometime in May, first week of May.
If it's May 4th, we're gonna have to stop Rogue Fun. Excuse me, enough of this pound. Quiet, Jerry. There's a new HasLab.
You're gonna come over the microphone, Jerry. I need the microphone. Hold on a minute. We've just had an announcement from HasLab.
You're talking about something that happened in the 70s. I'm talking about something that's happening right now, sir.
Right. It'll be fun if they break that. Also, they shared some pictures of the ghost, some updated pictures of the ghost.
Yes.
Were. Oh, my God. I can't wait for this ship to get here.
It's still in prototype form because if you look at the handrails that Sabine, I think it's Sabine's holding
mm-hmm.
in a close-up shot in the interior, you could see the layer lines. They use the kind of printer that I have.
Okay, I'll have to pay attention.
And I noticed that right away. I'm like, my finished ghost better not have layer lines on the poles.
They know better than that. I was kind of surprised because Jazzwares announced their ghost, and yeah, we've seen interiors of that ghost, and the interior of that ghost. I mean, the cockpit is not as detailed, but the back half of the ghost is way more detailed than Hasbro's, because there's paintings and stuff. Like Sabine did murals and paintings, and her room has got some painting on it. So that was probably the one thing that upset me the most about the HasLab ghosts, is I wish they would have taken one of those bunk rooms and painted it up like Sabine did, like Sabine's room. Mm. So I guess it'll be, you know, we got to get them both. to enjoy it. But somebody, they had had a picture of either somebody holding it or some, because they were, it was on display in the Empire State Building because they did an Empire, you know, takeover of the Empire State Building, and they had a display there, and the ghost, Micro Galaxy Squadron's ghost was there, and it looks like it could be the size of the vintage Millennium Falcon, or not that far off.
Yeah, I think it's actually bigger
than the vintage Millennium Falcon.
No, from their first, the version that Jazzwares has made.
So it's big. Wow.
We're talking Jazzwares size, right?
Right, we're talking Jazzwares.
I think the ghost is bigger than the Jazzwares Millennium Falcon.
Right. Oh, yes, it is. I've seen pictures, blurry pictures from a toy fair, and it's definitely bigger because they have them right next to each other, and it's definitely bigger than the Jazzwares Millennium Falcon. I was talking that it may be this. It looks like it could be the size of like the vintage Millennium Falcon, or
I don't think it's that big.
Well, it doesn't feel. You know, it looked. You know, somebody was holding it, and they're holding it, and it's huge, but.
I didn't like the colors of the Jazzwares one. I thought it was too cartoony, and I think I appreciated the Hasbro one, the deco on that one, just because it looked more realistic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is still in prototype form, I'm sure, so I'm sure they can adjust that. But yeah, I did go back and look at the images from Rebels. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's throwing everybody off is the green on, for lack of a better term, the wings on the side, the escape pods and stuff.
Yeah.
That's not really that defined in the cartoon. It's just a little bit on the tips, but they took it and made it go down the length of the side of that side of the ship. And it doesn't do that. Or if it does, mm-hmm. it's very, very muted. And the colors on it it's very bright and vivid. And Star Wars is supposed to be dirty. And that ship is supposed to be, you know, a dirty ship. And I'm not going to gripe that. I could gripe, but I'm just happy to have a go. You know, more ghosts, the better. The more ghosts, the better.
Somebody was on the Walmart site, and they did find several listings for Jazzwares. Starfighter class blue one X-Wing super rare. A Vulture droid with battle droid. Armada edition, a Resistance A-Wing Blue Chase, it's Series 6, Saiz 10 and R3-D5 Series 7, the TIE Whisper and Kylo Ren Series 7, a Fang Fighter with Mandalorian Pilot Series 6, TIE Fighter Armada edition, I'm not sure what the Armada edition is.
Isn't there a game?
Armada. There's an Armada, yeah, but I don't know if it's going to be the game. There's the Darth Maul Knight Brother Fighter Rare Series 7. So they're not done with it yet. They're still coming on. They're still making these. So
and the
at least up to Series 7.
Yeah, the Phantom 1 is in that series too, and then Series 6. But I'm hoping it doesn't. Like we've been talking, if they're going to do the Phantom, they better release it and just make it pretty widely available, because I had a feeling people would jump on it just to pair. So somebody like me who was able to get your hands on a ghost but couldn't get your hands on a Phantom will pay up for a Phantom. I don't want to screw it. Let's just go. So Jazzwares kick for a second. We've both been looking, and I'm it's like you're a day late and a dollar short on all that stuff. And I was fully expecting to see those at Toylana, and didn't see. The only things we saw were old stuff at Toylana. So, you know, if people are, you know, it seems like people are. I don't know where they're going, but if it's to a collector, I'm happier that it's going to a collector versus a scalper.
On the Jazzwares Instagram, they also revealed an AT-TE, a four-legged tank. With a couple of clones, and that might come with a speeder bike or two. So all this stuff is coming into the stores. A couple more things real quick. Billy D was yapping his mouth when he talked about Donald Glover's approach to the role. He said he's part of a whole new generation. He'll create whatever he needs to create to bring appeal to the character. He's a very young, talented lad, very imaginative. I mean, it's not for me to say what he should do with the character at this stage. I took care of the 20th century. Now he's got to take care of the 21st. I had a nice lunch with him. He's a delightful young man, extremely talented, but I don't see him. I mean, when it comes to Lando Calrissian, there's only one Lando Calrissian. I created the character.
That's me,
which is
baby.
Like, yeah, but it's like, stop. You're giving Donald Glover all this compliment, and then you just slap in the face, and it doesn't matter, though, because I'm Lando. No one can do it.
Right.
But we've got seven different James Bonds now, so it's like, we have two Landos, we have two Hans, we'll be fine, he'll be fine. He did a good job.
Yeah. Oh, I think he did a perfect job with Lando, and like I said plenty of times, when they introduced him properly in that movie, because you hear him before you see him, and you're just like, is that Billy Dee? And then you Billy see Donald Dee. Glover, and you're just like, and Donald Glover is, you know, if you like the oddball stuff, he's a great guy. It's a lot of fun to, his stuff's a lot of fun.
And then Star Wars, the Black Series, Baylan Skoll Mercenary was revealed. This is a Walmart exclusive. It's the look from him from the very start of the show. It's actually the same figure they just released, but with a cloth cape. They didn't fix the height issues. It's essentially a straight repack, which a lot of people were like, well, that's not what we wanted. We wanted a fixed figure. But again, it might have been too late to fix the figure, make him taller. He's right. Supposed to be a hulking tall figure, and they made him really short. And then there was the Evil Pack Black Series. It's a repack of Vader, Thrawn, and Grievous, but they're on like this Black Series card back.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Amazon exclusive. I think I might come around and order that one at some point.
I was excited that they put Thrawn. They put a Yishi. Is it a Yishi?
The Salamari?
The solid, whatever the force sensitive,
yes,
lizards that are he's with, but they put it on his shoulders, but then they put it with an Ahsoka Thrawn,
mm-hmm,
which kind of upset me a little bit. It's like, dude, you've made Rebels Thrawns, you've made other Thrawns, and I don't think he should have been with that Thrawn, but maybe there's something there, but I doubt there is. You know, maybe they're trying to tell us something that we should be watching out for.
We'll see.
Yeah. I hate when they do that, when there's a figure where they did like, it's like, we want the Yishi to go on the, to go with the, with Thrawn. And then they put it with a three pack. So you got to spend $100 to get that one thing.
George Lucas came out of the quiet room.
Yeah.
Remember I told you last time there was a board seat fight at Disney, and there was like a single shareholder that was trying to get a board seat?
Yes.
George Lucas came out and said, I support Bob Iger. He's backing Bob Iger, and he might quite honestly be the largest single shareholder of Disney, because he obviously made that. He sold his Star Wars IP to Disney, so when that happened, there could have been a stock exchange, and George Lucas might be the biggest shareholder in Disney.
Oh.
And if that's the case for him to say, I support Bob Iger, that's going to force a lot of people to listen to him, because, I mean, his vote matters more than any activist shareholder.
Right.
Three more things. Speaking of Disney, someone dumped their loved one's ashes, Rise of the Resistance, at Disneyland. Don't do that. Disney knows. They sweep it up. They dump it in the trash. It's called a HEPA cleanup.
Code green is vomit. There you go. Oh, it's vomit. There's like a code something, then everybody knows that it's...
Oh, protein. I'm sorry. It's a protein code.
So yeah, it shuts the ride down for the rest of the day, and it just makes a mess.
Yeah. And then the loved one gets swept up and gets put into the trash or into the sewage. And it's like, that's not what you should be doing.
Right. Well, and if you get busted, it's a lifetime ban from Disney. So
yeah,
do it.
Disney also announced on May 4th that you could see all 9 Skywalker films in the theater, but there's only one catch. It's only showing in 4 theaters nationwide. Well, I put this big announcement out that you could see the all 9 Skywalker films on May 4th, but it's only available in four theaters throughout the country.
Yeah.
And then today, Disney announced a new bucket, a new popcorn bucket. It's Jabba the Hutt. He opens up his mouth. He can reach into that gizzard of his and pull out the popcorn and eat it from his belly to yours.
And you forgot what kind of keychain it comes with.
Yeah, it's got a Salacious Crumb keychain.
So you're going to try to find it.
Yeah, because they said on May 4th, there's going to be a First Order Stormtrooper popcorn bucket where you flip it upside down. You can pop open the top and eat the popcorn from the bucket.
Right.
So will this Jabba the Hutt be gone before then?
I don't know. I have had pretty good luck finding the popcorn buckets online. So, I mean, if you're willing to pay, I mean, you probably end up paying probably $50 for it, which is double what it, I mean, I'm sure it's $25-$30. Yeah. So just keep your eyes on like Mercari and eBay and you probably could find it. Or, you know, maybe we'll stick Mandy on it and she could find it because she's really good at that stuff.
So, and that, my friend, is all the news of the week. I'm sorry it took an hour because we still have to talk about Toylanta.
Toylanta. I love you, Toylanta. Well, how do you want to start this? Because it...
Well, Toylanta is a 3-day show. Yes. It's a toy show. There's a hotel in... It's a Hilton that's in Peachtree Corners.
And it's a show that they've been doing for the last 25 years or so.
Yep. And it's still, even though it's been there for 25 years, I still feel like it's trying to find its identity. Its identity.
Yes.
Because it used to be Joelanta, about G.I. Joes. And then they said, let's make it all about toys. And they made a Toylanta. And then the G.I. Joe guys got upset. And then they said, we want our G.I. Joe show. So they split them off and they both have Joelanta and Toylanta. I think that's probably a mistake, especially since a lot of these vendors, with the exception of Toy Federation and Toy Department and some of the others, a lot of these guys go from, you know, the weekend toy show to the next weekend toy show. So it's like nothing special because it's stock that I saw a couple months ago at the last one. So, and then on top of that, we've got panels. We've got, like, I think there's karaoke and an auction. It's like got 1 foot into the toy show. It's got 1 foot into the comic convention show, but it's not any of those.
Right.
And I don't know if it's fully formed its own identity yet.
Yeah, I think it's, I have to agree with that. I know a few years ago, probably, I say a few, but it's probably longer, like 10 years. I think it was like the year before or like one of the first years I went. So that would put it 10, 12 years ago. They tried bringing on a bunch of wrestlers. And I think they weren't managed correctly, and they didn't make a whole lot of money that year because they didn't know how to manage talent. I know one time they tried bringing in like a Transformer, tried to do a Transformer con with them, and it was like 2 or 3 booths. That kind of fell on its face. But yeah, even with all the growing pains that Toylanta's had. Because it's moved 3 times in like the last 5 years, which isn't good. Because they moved it, they had outgrown one place that it had been at for 20 years, and then they moved it to a place, and then the pandemic happened. And it was literally that year they moved it was one of those where you don't know if it's going to happen. You don't, you know, because it was right at the start of the pandemic, and they were still going to have it. And then like the week before is when the government said nothing, you know, shut it all down. So they suffered a lot from that. I know they had a couple of guys that ran it. Dutch and Martin were the kind of at the helm. And when they left, it went off the tracks, basically. And it, like you said, it's trying to get back on it. So, yeah, all in all, it's been... It's a love-hate relationship. I hate to use those words with Toylanta, but I love it more than I hate it. And it's just frustrating because you see them put it in like a hotel like it's in now, and there's rooms that, you know, if you don't know the hotel, you're going to miss. And those vendors suffer with that.
With that said, I had a blast.
Yeah.
I guess that was the critical portion of the show.
I love it every year. This year, it kind of snuck up on me, and it didn't hit me till I got in a car after work to drive over to meet you, because you're there and you get that adrenaline rush. Like, I'm going to spend 3 days at a toy show.
Yeah.
It
Which
was
is probably 2 days too many.
it probably was at this, not that's just personal stuff. Cause I mean, I've had, my work has been very frustrating lately for the past month or so. There's just been a lot of changes, and you don't realize it until you sit down. When you get there in one morning, you sit down to do your paperwork and you're like, I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't realize it till it's too late how exhausting it is. Even though things are running smoothly, it's just so much stuff's going on. It mentally exhausts you. And then I was like, I really could use a weekend to rest, and Toylana's coming up. So it was just a lot going on. But no, I think Friday night was great. The Mythic Legions guys were there. Four Horsemen were there. I was happy to see those guys. They got probably 90% of my money. But it wasn't the same as it was last year when the Four Horsemen, you know, last year there was a line, but like this last year, I think 90% of the line went to Four Horsemen, or there was sort of like, this is a line for Four Horsemen, and then you can just walk in. It felt like it was about 50-50 went to Four Horsemen, and then the rest went to the rest of the con. And I remember like Saturday and Sunday morning, it was a big deal to get in line for the Four Horsemen. And I'm not saying it's anything wrong with them. I don't know who to put the blame on. I'm not putting the blame on anybody. It felt like it was not as well attended this year as it was in years past. And that's for me judging, you know, when you will walk up to go to the Four Horsemen booth, there'd be 30 people in line waiting to go there. And I think Sunday morning they had 5 or 6 waiting.
Yeah. When I went to PowerCon, that line for the Four Horsemen were tripled, and the Four Horsemen were sold out on every single day. And so I was just surprised that a bigger city like Atlanta with the Four Horsemen here, like, it just, I don't know if the word wasn't out or what, but I just didn't think the reaction was less than I thought it would be for a big city like Atlanta.
I can say, I don't think they advertised it like they should. The guy that normally runs it was in the hospital for a couple of months beforehand, so I don't know if that hindered things or what. I know that, like, on Instagram, they had a lot of people, like our buddy Jordan, he was advertising for, you know, just saying, hey, I'm going to be at Toylana this weekend, come find me. And somebody had said, well, that's where I'm seeing a lot of the advertising is on Instagram. I didn't see any sponsored things on Facebook. Now, granted, you know, you're not always going to, this Facebook ads doesn't work very well. But I know in years past, our buddy Dutch has always handed me a handful of flyers and is like, hand these out. But he's not running the show anymore, so he's not doing that. But there was no, you know, you'll go to a comic book stop, there's a flyer for Toylana, you know, everywhere in Atlanta, you don't go anywhere without seeing flyers for this shop. So I don't know what happened this year. I'm going to blame it on the fact that he was in the hospital and he couldn't run the show, and nobody really, not that nobody stepped up. They didn't know what they were doing, you know, or didn't know what to do.
But it was great to,
I'll put it that way.
it was great to see Lewis and Ryan and Jordan and Richard, Wayne and Rich and Barry, Jason and Alex. Charles with the 501st, Tony. Always great to hang out with Tony.
Yeah, I know. I had a great time hanging out with everybody.
It was just a great environment. Richard was able to find that Spawn playset that he's been searching for. It was sealed.
Yeah.
He's been looking for it for 5 years. I, on preview night, was walking around, and I looked down, and I see a Walrus Man mask. And I'm like, what? Because I know that at one point a toy company wanted to make some Star Wars masks based on the vintage action figures, but we're told that they had to make another kind of mask, which didn't sell through, and so these never got made. So Star Wars never got the vintage action figure masks made, But the Masters of the Universe are, and if you were to search vintage Masters of the Universe masks, you could find those. So the same artist made a small run of those vintage Walrus Man masks. He made a small run of 10. He made all four of the Cantina aliens, and he put them up on his Etsy site, and that ship had sailed a long time ago because these were dated 2016. And I was shocked, my friends, to find one sitting there and to pick it up for the discounted price of $75.
Yes, you're welcome for that.
Thank you, Glenn. It's a very niche. It's a very artist. It's more of an art piece, I would say, than a mask that I would wear. Incredibly sculpted. It's latex. It looks just like the vintage figure. So just imagine the vintage figure bigger and made out of latex. And I was, again, shocked to find it there. And I struck a deal and I picked that up.
Yeah, no, that I think that was the deal of the show until Sunday when I found a 12 pack of unused, still in the wrapper, toothbrushes, vintage toothbrushes that they used to give to dentists to give to the kids. And I think I paid like $40 for that, which I think they go for double or triple. I mean, on eBay, there's some that are like $220. So I kind of, it's one of those things where it's in the back of your mind. It'd be really cool. You know, it'd be really cool to have those. And I picked that up and I thought I got a steal from that. And then I also found an Anakin was in the last 17 Anakin was in the $15 bin of somebody's booth. And I was like, I went up to our buddy Rich and I'm like, homeboy down there has got a $15 Anakin. And Rich gives me $20 and goes, go buy it. And I was like, here you go, Rich. You just got an Anakin for cheap. So I'm not sure what happened to it, but I was out of cash. And if I'd have had $20, I probably would have bought it and just stuck it somewhere.
He goes, hey, Jason, do you need an Anakin? I got one here for you for $40. And he said, we just bought it for 15, but I'll sell it to you for 40.
We got to make up for that. We got to make you pay for that red bar, Jason.
Yeah. I didn't really pick up much of anything else. I did pick up a couple Lego pieces. There was a couple Cantina aliens actually that I was after, but they wouldn't give me a deal and I didn't want to overpay for them.
Well, what they did was they pulled up Yak Face's thing and went, cheers. It says cheers.
No, they did pull up eBay. At that point, I was just like, eBay is not a proper representation of the hobby. You can get two people bidding each other up and they just get caught up in bidding. That doesn't mean it's reflective of the hobby in whole.
Right. Yeah, no. What else did I pick up? I picked up, well, like, yeah, no, it is. It was annoying when people would do that. The one thing that was good is that one guy that we picked up that other stuff from, he was pulling up eBay, but then he'd like slash it in half. He was like, this is what it's selling for right now. I'll slash it in half because I don't have to pay, you know, worry about eBay fees and PayPal.
Who's this? I missed that.
No, it was the same guy you bought your mask from. He was when I was making a deal on the toothbrushes. He was like, I think they're going for $100 on eBay right now. I'll do 40. And I was like, sweet. Thank you.
He had a carded Bosk, vintage Bosk with like a German card back. He wanted like $1,000 for it, which is too rich for my blood right now. But then I saw the guy from Toy Federation walk away with it. And I'm like, these vendors are just buying from each other. What's the point of having a store where they just, or having a show? They just buy from each other.
Yeah. That's pretty much what Friday night felt like. It was definitely vendors buying from each other, vendor preview night, which was, it's fun to be there for that because you do get first dibs on things. And it's not as crowded, but I don't think the whole show really was that crowded. I mean, what else? Is that all you picked up? Was that mask and a couple of pieces?
Well, it's funny because I did bump into, we saw Barry and Alex and Jason, and Barry had a bunch of stuff for me, but the first thing he goes, it's styrene. I'm like, yes, that's the name of the plastic that I couldn't think of last week. He says that he listens in the morning and then he's like, oh, it's styrene. But then he gets home at the end of the work day and he's just like, I'm too tired to email them. So he came up to me. He's like, it's styrene. And I'm like, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And we always get emails from Barry too. So he'll normally, when he thinks about it and he will email us and be like, this is what it is, or hey, this is, you know, this is, you know, and gives us pointers. So it's good to see Barry in person.
Yep. I'm looking forward to seeing him at Rogue Fun. He did. He was extremely generous. He got a couple of the Return of the Jedi Puffy stickers for me.
Oh, nice.
Sealed, and it has Salacious Crumb. But I like that the colors were like oversaturated. So Salacious Crumb is like orange.
Nice.
And the R2-D2s are almost like, instead of being like a very deep blue, almost purplish color. So that was very kind of him. He got two Salacious Crumbs. Vintage Salacious Crumb. So maybe that's the other thing, because I was joking that anytime I see a Short Trooper from now on, I'm just going to buy it.
Right.
And if I see a vintage Salacious Crumb, I guess I'm just going to buy it and make an army of Salaciouses.
Yeah, you should, because that's your guy. I'm trying to think. I bought our buddy Daniel had bought a bunch of Legos up there, so I got the TIE Defender off of him. I don't know how old of a place that it is, but or how hard it is to find, but I got that and put it together, and he had it pretty much just broke it apart enough to put it in a box. So it took me like 2 minutes to put it back together. Mm-hmm. I picked up, I think, seven, eight Mythic Legions. So the Mythic and Cosmic. I picked up like two Cosmic Legions, a couple of Vampires, and I know two Mythic Legions, the Vampires, and a bunch of Cosmic Legions that I've been wanting. What else did I pick up?
There was one more thing that Barry got. Do you remember the little crystals that would go into like a lead stained glass frame? You would put the crystals into the frame, then you would heat it up. All the crystals would melt into make like stained glass.
Yeah.
There was one with Jabba and Salacious Crumb.
Right.
And he was able to pick that up for me.
Nice.
I already have one. And so I'm thinking about opening it up and making it. I've been very curious about stained glass, and now that I've got that laser, which I haven't had time to set up, another thing that will happen. I did. It's another thing that I'll take care of after Rogue Fun. I want to make my own stained glass somehow and cut acrylic and do something with that. But in the meantime, I'm like, maybe I'll just unplug for an hour and just move crystals into their place and make my own stained glass Salacious Crumb.
If you can unplug for an hour.
I can't. So we'll see what happens.
If you can get over opening stuff. That was funny. Our buddy Wayne from the Toy Collector's Wish Book did a panel, and he was like, yes, I have to buy something. I bought something. And Jason, close your ears.
I get singled out. Yes.
I will open it. I mean, the package of it was trashed. Yeah. But it was a Centurion piece, and he was like, yeah, every time he'd have to open something, he'd just look right at you and be like, hey, my wife picked up some really cool stuff. We were at yesterday, we were there, and there was an ET watch, and I took a picture of it, and I'm like, she's like, oh, I've got one. And I go, but there's a Gremlins game you should come look at. And she came, looked at it. And it was a sealed Commodore 64 Gremlins game. And she's like, I've got it, but I don't have it sealed. And then they were like these golf mugs from like the golf gas stations. They had like four of the five. And she walked away from them. And I'm like, why the are you walking away from these? Because you've never seen them before. Neither one of us have seen them before. The guy, I think, was wanting like $750 a piece for them. And she was just like, I'm cheap, blah, blah. And then she messages me like a half an hour later. Go get them. And it's funny because there's a father and daughter that it's Dale and Megan. And Megan's a big Gremlins collector too. And I said, why don't you go talk to Megan, see if she's seen these before? And she goes, I'm not telling her anything about these because then she's going to go buy them. And I told, after she secured them, I told Dale about it. And he was just like, yeah, Megan would. She would totally go buy that out from underneath her. So she got those, which were, you know, that was sort of her find of the day. You know what? I did post something in the club. What else?
You got your woven looking.
Oh yeah. They're made by
Back to the Future.
Yeah. They're called Designed by Robots, and they're basically the size of a pop, but they look like they've been woven or hand stitched or crocheted. That's the word, crocheted. And it was a DeLorean and a Marty. And then basically, when I bought them and got them home, I was like, I just bought more Pops. But they're cool looking. I was like, damn it, I just bought more Pops.
Stop buying the cutesy statues and start buying the action figures, posable action figures.
Well, dude, that's what I buy the Mythics for, or the Cosmics for.
Yeah.
But no, I... so is there anything, how did, because you did a panel that I was rude and walked out on halfway through it because I had a buddy message me going, I'm here. And I was like, should I leave or should I stay? And I ended up walking out of your panel with the 501st guy. How did that, it felt like you were, guys were kind of struggling a little bit, but you, I told you, I said, if you had a camera in front of you, you do awesome because you're really good at interviewing people. And it felt like you were kind of turning it around a little bit.
Yeah. So one of my mottos is proper planning prevents poor performance. And I didn't know preparation for that panel. So I was a little nervous because I didn't know what to talk about. I didn't know if I could captivate the audience. And it ended up just being friends in the audience, which I appreciated their support. But we didn't really have a topic other than collecting and costuming, which turned into a debate on what was more expensive, costuming or collecting. And after the carded double telescoping Darth Vader was dropped for $50,000, Charles from the 501st said, yeah, we don't have costumes that expensive. And so the debate was over, and I turned into podcast mode where I started just interviewing him and asking him questions that I've always wanted to ask a member of the 501st. Like, hey, where did you start? What do you use 3D printing, or do you vacuum form, you know, your armor? One of the questions I want to know for my personal use was, how do you size helmets? Because I made that Short Trooper helmet. It was the first thing I got, or first thing I made when I got my 3D printer, and it doesn't fit my head.
Right.
And I was, you know, as I was printing and assembling pieces, I'm like, okay, this will fit. And then once the helmet was completely together and I put it over my head, it doesn't fit. So
yeah,
he said sometimes there's rings, and yeah, it's no, my head's too big. My noggin's too big.
All right. So the helmet's too small.
But yeah, it was a good panel. It was just very difficult when people just get up in the middle and walk out. And I'm like, is it something I said?
Why are you, Glenn? Why are you leaving?
Glenn, why are you going? Am I not that captivating? Are you like, enough of this guy? I have to listen to this guy every Saturday. I'm done. I'm not doing.
I would have said in the middle of the panel, hey, I'm sorry. I'm got a buddy here.
Yeah.
Good job. I felt bad. You're doing awesome. Hey, it was better than me taking a phone call in the middle of a panel.
Oh my God, that was so rude. That was incredibly rude during Wayne's panel. Someone picks up, hello? Yeah, he didn't even say, I'm in a panel about a toy book. He was just like, yeah, I'm in the car thing, or toy car thing.
Right.
Yeah, I can't talk right now. I'll talk to you later. Yeah. Bye. All right, bye.
And it was like a 2 minute, and Wayne, if I was Wayne, I'd have just stopped talking.
I would have
just been like, okay, sir. Yeah. Okay.
At your convenience, sir.
Are you done talking now? Because I have a panel I'm trying to put on. But wasn't that the same guy that was kind of being a
yeah. He was giving feedback that I did not approve of. No Star Wars, no G.I. Joe in your book, no Transformers. That's already been covered. And I'm like, well, there's some niche parts of Star Wars that hasn't been covered.
And he kind of went off on girls' toys, and it was like, oh, you don't need to have any girl toys in there. Oh, I don't know. But, and everybody was like, dude, I mean, Chance kind of came up to, or did come to Wayne's defense. And Chance was like, you know, I kind of poo-pooed on girls' toys too until I started looking into them, researching them for my store. And they've got some good stuff, even though it's a girl toy. There's some cool girl toys out there, you know, and it does. I do kind of agree with that. When you start going into some of these girl toys, it's like, they're cool. You know, you got to give them their props, man. I mean, you know, girls deserve their toys too. And they deserve, you know, to be acknowledged.
I just want to say thank you to Tony, to Dan, to Alex, to Jason, to Barry for staying through the entire panel.
And I can suck an egg.
And Barry and crew, they left right afterward to go back to Mississippi. They're waiting to see our panel, which I felt really bad about. And I promise, Barry, I promise the content of Rogue Fun will be 10 times, a million times better than the content of that Star Wars panel.
Right.
It's worth the trip.
It'll be fun, dude. Rogue.
Yeah. Yeah. Rogue Fun. It'll be fun. It'll be Rogue Fun. I feel like you need to say that now. Dangerous voice, deep voice.
So, should we discuss the rumors that we're hearing on the floor as far as like the movement, the moving the show?
I wouldn't. No, maybe not.
Okay.
We could talk about it if that gets officially announced. But right now, it's just rumors, and I don't want to comment on rumors. And,
well, then I will. And I get will. So
any. Alleged word that we've heard is just hearsay, and it's not anything we're going to comment on.
Okay.
On the record.
On the record. So here we'd be like, what do you think would make the show better?
Yeah, I think for $1 Patreon, people can listen to the after show, and they can hear our take about any alleged rumors about Toylanta. How about them apples?
Do you want me to edit all that out or leave it in?
Leave it in.
Okay, cool.
Because that's what we were hinting at. I mean, it might not be true. It's just, right. You know, right. Those rumors.
Right. There are definite rumors of Toylanta. And if they're true, I'm looking forward to them.
I mean, there's rumors at Celebration Anaheim that they're going to announce it's going to be Orlando and then it's Europe.
It's like, and then it's Japan. And then it's like,
Japan.
Oh my. So speaking of Celebration, did you see? I mean, so the Jedi, they released the pricing of the tickets, and VIP is like $1,000, and then like a normal ticket still like 160, which I was kind of surprised at.
Yeah.
But cool. It's $6,000 for a plane ticket.
It's a lot of money. Rich for my blood.
Oh yeah, definitely. You'd spend $10,000 and you wouldn't get to spend any money. You wouldn't get to buy anything.
Wouldn't be able to go to Disney.
Right. If I go to Japan, I want to go to Japan to sightsee and to see Japan. And yes, I do want to do Disney. Is it Shanghai Disney?
No, it's Tokyo Disney.
Tokyo Disney, but they've got some really cool stuff over there. And I think they might have a Universal too. So, but those theme parks are light years ahead of ours, you know, and that's stuff you'd want to see. It would kill me to just go to a convention.
Yeah, I'd want to do it too, but it's just too expensive. Tonight on the Rogue Fun page, it did announce a new raffle item, which is Rogue Fun Trooper. And get it. We repainted a Jack specific Big Fig Stormtrooper pink and purple to go with the Rogue Fun theme. And this will be available in the raffle, which will benefit Rancho Obi-Wan. And that's going to be cool.
Right.
Tomorrow night, we're just posting a reminder about bowling. If you want to sign up for bowling, $25 to our GASWC PayPal address. And then I think that might be it.
No, bowling, it's not just bowling. It'll include food. We'll have food and drink. We'll have food and soda pops, no adult beverages.
Yeah, soft drinks, and then all you can eat, I think, is going to be a cheese pizza and chicken tenders. They just keep coming out. If you want to add something to it, you're more than welcome to purchase your own food or go over to the bar. There's a bar at this place. It's like one of those upscale main event kind of venues where they have billiards and they have an arcade. They have bowling. Yeah, but they also have a bar. Right. So you can you can get your harder drink if you want.
Right. But we will not be providing your hard drinks. You will have to pay them, buy them yourself.
Yes. Also comes with shoes.
Right.
Anything else?
I think we're good. Right?
I think so. I think there's a lot that we covered.
This is the longest show in a very long time.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid a 2 hour show, and here we are, what, an hour and 20 minutes or so, hour 30. So we're approaching that. So let's wrap it up. Thank you for listening to the Smugglers. Let me try this with more energy. I like to go up on top. That's what she said.
Run through the end of the outro like Ewan McGregor run, not Ewan McGregor, Conor McGregor ran through that room in Rogue House 2. Or the new
Roadhouse. I haven't seen Roadhouse.
Oh my, it's not that bad, but like, what's his face? Conor McGregor just is like running through every room, like, oh, I'm a bull in a china shop type thing.
I could try. I've never seen it, but I could try.
it's worth the watch. So is the new Willy Wonka. We watched.
Thank you. Oh, the Wonka one was good.
I enjoyed Wonka.
Thank you for listening to the Smugglers Galaxy podcast. If you could, maybe I'll do a WWE wrestler. If you could, brother, please leave a like and a 5-star review of the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. It really helps us out and points people to our show. Follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. I'm going to lose my message, or my voice. Send us an email or message us. Slap into a Slim Jim, brother. We love feedback. We'd love to make you part of the show. Our email address is smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com. Thank you to Alfonso Riviera for the Smugglers Galaxy logo. And thank you to Levi Waterhouse for the music. People collect for the love of it. # what with your wallet. Sabine will be on next week. Pass on what you've learned. Be a positive force in the collecting community. This is the way.